What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from This Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Iron Man VR for PlayStation VR. We'll be talking about Apple Arcade, which Disney is part of. And we're also going to be talking about all of the sort of new Avengers Endgame toys, which all got released yesterday. I'm kind of wasn't quite expecting that one. And then finally, it's going to be James's last episode. So we're going to be having a bit of a yap about the last couple of years doing that. So let's jump first off into quick bit of housekeeping. If you haven't already done so, make sure you go check us out over at thiskingdom.com, like, follow, and subscribe on the audio platforms, YouTube, etc. Also, make sure you check out our What's on DisneyPlus.com. Me and James do a podcast there as well, where we talk about all things like movies and the new streaming service. So you want to do that one. But let's jump into the first bit of news, which was last week on the PlayStation State of Play event, which is a bit like their new Nintendo Direct. They announced Iron Man VR for PlayStation VR, which kind of, I'll be honest, I put this State of Play on and was like, okay, let's see what this thing is. I wasn't expecting much. Started off with Iron Man. I was so great State of Play for me. Everybody was going, oh, it's a bit boring. You're not as good as Nintendo Direct. I'm going, they just announced an Iron Man VR game. This is a great event for me.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even just the Iron Man VR. There was a lot of VR. Not ones that we care about for this podcast, but the focus for this event or whatever, this release, was VR. So people who like VR, there's a lot of stuff going on there for the PSVR. But specifically, Iron Man, they didn't show much. They showed kind of a mock-up of what I think they think the game will look like. I don't think that what they showed was in-game. Maybe. I'm not even convinced the parts that look like they're in-game are actually in-game. So for reference, you're probably splicing it into the video here, but you're looking through the Iron Man HUD, and there's some like things coming at you, and you kind of shoot the things coming out of this flaming aircraft that you just got ejected from. And I think it's a mock-up of what the game will look like, but I don't think it's actually in-game. Either way, though, looks pretty basic, but that's also perfectly fine. We don't know how big this game will be, if it's just an experience or if it's going to be like a full-fledged 10-hour campaign kind of deal. Either way, so long as it's priced accordingly to whatever it ends up being, I'm in. I'll totally play this.
Yeah, it definitely caught my attention. I like my VR, you know, I totally don't use it as much as I should do because I got one for Christmas. It's just that thing of the faff of putting it on, and last time I put on the Wipeout game that came with my Mega Bundle, and that made me a bit nauseous. So I didn't quite play as long as it. So I'll be jumping in and playing it. The only thing that has got me is the fact that I think you need to use the Move controllers to act as your hands, and those things are like go dust. I cannot find them in stores anywhere, and they're on eBay for like £100. No retailer has got them. So this is my one concern with them. Those little Move controllers you just can't find anywhere over here, and it's a bit of a pain.
Yeah, so I very specifically bought the Skyrim VR bundle for the VR, and that came with those two little wands or whatever. But yeah, it doesn't look like you can buy them individually anymore, which is funny because, you know, they used to go for like $5 a piece because they were originally for Move. Was that what it was called?
The PS Move? Yeah, on the PlayStation 3, because they listed as an old one. You know, there's lots of bundles around. I mean, I got the Mega Bundle, which had like 6 games in it. It was a great value. I really enjoyed playing it and jumping into it. But this one, this VR game sold me. This is the thing of this. We've got to get past this kind of thing of, you know, getting the experiences, getting some good games. Even if it's just a 2-hour experience for £20, I'm in. I'm looking forward to this. It's something I'm going to be playing. You know, I'm hoping this is better than, say, like the Kingdom Hearts experience, which was pretty dire. But no, this looks good. I think, you know, there was a lot of VR stuff in that State of Play. You know, PlayStation don't look like they are dropping it anytime soon. I think they've sold like 4 million units. And I expect also, because it's video game, people buying it, the attach rate is probably quite high on it as well, which is helping.
Yeah, and this is we're getting to a point where VR, not just PSVR, but VR in general, is finally starting to come into its own. Developers, I think we talked about this a little bit late last year, but developers are finally starting to understand how VR works, what are good ways to tailor experiences to VR, and how to make it the most effective, preferably without making you nauseous, like you were talking about. But not even just like this Iron Man experience, which kind of just seems obvious as an idea. You've got stuff like Beat Saber out there, which is an ingenious use of VR and the wands or whatever, because who doesn't want to play with lightsabers while also listening to music? Games like Moss, and Astrobot, which are emotional experiences, and stuff like this. Even Skyrim VR and Fallout VR, I hear very good things about. Despite the fact that I bought the Skyrim VR bundle, I have not actually played Skyrim VR at all.
Yeah, Skyrim VR was in my bundle as well. I haven't fired that one out. I still haven't got around to play. I'm still kind of, I'm just really enjoying Astrobot. That's kind of my jam for that one. I did pick up Moss, but I haven't got around to it. Because I've been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That thing is just a time sink. But yeah, this VR Iron Man game, I think it just looks cool. No price, no release date, other than it's coming soon. I'm in. I think this is great. It's just, you know, just nice to have these kind of bits and pieces coming in. Also last week, Apple held their an Apple event where they announced tons of subscription services, magazines, television service, and a few things and bits and pieces. We are going to be talking about Apple TV quite a bit with regards to like Disney Plus and Disney on the other podcast this week. But the specific thing I want to talk about here was they announced a new streaming or new, not so streaming, but a new subscription thing called like Apple Arcade, which is going to have a curated list of video games on your apps, on your iPhone app. And one of the key things here was on the display of all the companies involved, there was a Disney logo. So we know Disney are making an exclusive game for this product. Whether or not they are just using some of the back catalog games and putting them on there, it's going to be subscription. You don't need to be online when you're playing them. They download. There's no adverts built in. It's kind of going to be like Xbox Game Pass for Apple. I don't know who they're marketing it at. I don't know what the idea of this thing is. But it was a bit certainly caught people off guard. I didn't know the big Disney logo was like, ooh.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have any details for what it's going to be. And I wouldn't expect it to be something like download Disney Magic Kingdoms and get an exclusive Apple store to put in your park or something. It's probably not going to be something like that. Like you said, it's going to be Frozen Free Fall 3 Premium Edition or something. I'm totally just making that up. There's no rumors or what. I'm just picking a title. And it will be, hopefully, as part of this subscription package, meaning that the in-app purchases will be a little bit less aggressive. You'll actually be able to play the game without having to wait for timers, having to play the gotcha loot boxes of, you know, would you like to unlock Donald? Well, good luck. He's a 1 in 7 chance in this box right here. I mean, obviously we're speculating. We don't know the details of the service, but that's kind of what I'm hoping. Whether or not it'll be successful is an entirely different matter, because as we've seen it increasingly over the last few years, there's a split between gaming, traditional gaming that we grew up with, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, etc., and mobile gaming. And I don't know how this is going to properly bridge that gap. I hope it does, because I would like mobile gaming to kind of segue back into proper gaming and do away with this money-grabbing nonsense, but I don't know.
I mean, the key thing I'm thinking of here is there's been a number of like Disney apps over the past few years. Things like there was a Moana like rhythm game. There was like a Frozen game where you were building bits and pieces, and there was a Finding Dory game. These are all about $5 each, and they were full purchases, and they had an end, a beginning, and an end, and it worked. But Disney tried it, and the trouble is, and this is the thing with mobile gamers, is traditionally paid games do not go down very well on the app. Gamers don't get, you know, the minute they don't see they have to, it's free, they don't want to know. And this is what Apple are trying to do with this thing of trying to offer. I think they are aware that they aren't getting, they're getting average Joes playing it, but they're not maybe necessarily spending money because the money is dropping. You know, the companies aren't making as much as they used to. People have got burnt out. People have moved on. People have become more aware. But this is Apple's way of trying to get people in. Personally, for me, I don't like playing on touchscreen. The amount of actual video games I play on my app, on my devices, is getting less and less. I mean, I've got loads of them installed because I go check on the updates, but I just find them so bland. And also that whole thing as well of, you know, at least with some of the ones that Disney have done in the past where there's like levels and stuff, you know, I could see them maybe put like Cast of Illusion that and the DuckTales app on there and a few of these like premium ones on there and see how they get on. But I don't know who they're marketing this at. If they're marketing this at us as gamers, we ain't going to be interested. If they're going after parents to pay for this, I don't know if the kid, I don't think they've got so used to free games, the concept of paying for it. I just don't know. And as soon as we've got things like Google Strata and Xbox Project Cloud running on devices, when you're getting console quality games on your, this thing just feels like this is an, I don't know. I'm really not sure how this is going to work.
Yeah. I mean, well, we need details, obviously. Yeah. That's what it boils down to, is we need details on how this is going to work. And I agree with a lot of your points, especially the controls. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned it in the past. I enjoyed games like Disney Magic Kingdom, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, games like that, because the controls didn't really matter. They're turn-based. They weren't reliant on, you know, solid controls. But something like Marvel Future Fight or even Contest of Champions, you have to have a bit more precision with the controls. And for me, it's just not as engaging or not as effective as, say, using an actual Xbox or PlayStation controller. And now I realize some of these games do have the ability to connect to a Bluetooth controller and you can do that. But I'm like, well, why don't I just play on a real system at that point? Or even a 3DS. I'd rather play a 3DS than a mobile game in most cases.
And I feel like, Apple were very much in this event of just like, you know, all these content for things they're providing. And it feels like Apple at this precise minute are floundering. They don't seem to me, they are putting their thing of doing all this other stuff of what they announced at this event, you know, all their devices. And there's just a concept of, they aren't doing anything. You know, it's like, oh, another subscription service. And then they go, and here's another subscription service. And here's another. You know, they announced free subscription services in one event. It's like, you might be better off kind of doing like an Apple Prime kind of thing where we get everything all included in the one subscription. Might work a bit better than this. $40 a month. Yeah.
I might not use Amazon as an example for subscription. I mean, sure, you get the Amazon Prime, which has the video, the shipping, a couple other things, some books. But then they've also got Comixology Unlimited, the book, Kindle Unlimited. They've got other. So, yeah, actually, I do feel like Apple might be trying to mimic that thing where they see Amazon having a decent amount of success on this. The difference being that the Amazon content library is far more reaching than the Apple library once you get outside of music.
Yeah, it's just this kind of feeling of right now, there was a lot of stuff being thrown around. I'm not sure if this Apple Arcade thing is the right thing. And as much as kids pick up those tablets and they know how to use them and they can, because there's a device that's available and they can play it, the concept of paying for games on there is very much become very tricky for them. Apple, you know, game companies are just not doing it. And gaming is about to go. I think this streaming technology is going to change how we play. I mean, they were very open about the fact, you can play this downloaded and offline. And it's like, that's a certain advantage to that. But if you're paying for it, you know, are you going to get your money's worth? And I think this one's going to, none of the games they showed off would be enough to make me subscribe because they're all just generic. They just, nothing, you know, I'm so used to playing console games. I was just like, yeah, no, this is not gonna pull me in to subscribe.
Right, and that may change as we learn more things, because right now we've mostly got a list of companies involved. Yeah, they announced a couple games, and there's some decent names in those games that are announced.
And a few things are in there.
Right.
Sega.
And there's some things that, you know, we can keep an eye on, but yeah, my initial reaction is probably not all that interested. And more importantly, what the ultimate objective for Apple is, of course, to say this is an Apple product. In order to use it, you have to buy Apple products, an iPhone, an iPad, a iWidget, whatever. And as a consumer, unless I'm already invested in the Apple ecosystem, I'm not going to give up an Android phone to go to an iPhone just for this arcade, at least based on what we know now. They may have the God of War app for this phone. They might have Horizon Zero Dawn or a Spider-Man or a Halo or something like that, where you're like, oh my goodness, I have to play this game, and the only way to play this game is on an iPhone. Maybe. But I don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. I use them daily, all the time. So I am in the system. I don't really use, it's primarily the web browser and social media. That's kind of what I use it for. And the games is, yeah. I mean, I tried using the PlayStation app that they did the other week, of where you can use remote play for your PlayStation. That didn't work. So that wasn't working so well. And it was like, and I was thinking, I'm a foot away from the console. I'm literally, if this can't get a good enough Wi-Fi thing, I am literally, my feet can touch the PlayStation. That's how close I am.
Yeah, and this is why I'm not particularly concerned, not just about Apple Arcade, but Stravia, the new Google thing. These things need to exist to push the technology forward. Like, we're going back to the VR discussion. If people had not bought an Oculus Rift back when it was a brand new program with nothing on it, no games that you had to play on it, and even adding in the HTC Vive, if those hadn't come out several years ago, we wouldn't be at the position we are now with VR. And this is very much the same thing, where these streaming programs are not in a position where they're enticing at the moment, but if we don't develop them now, they won't be in an enticing position a couple of years from now.
I mean, I do like the fact that both Microsoft and Google are looking for the, of using your iPhones, of you use your controller. They seem to have grasped the concept that the touch screens aren't the best thing for games. Apple seem to be very much in that mindset of the idea of they still think that device is the best thing they've got. And yeah, Google, my bet is more on Microsoft, because I think they've got the games library. I think Google will get bored of it and move on to the next thing. Whereas I think Microsoft are going to be the one to crack it, and they seem to have got a different strategy going on with gaming as a whole. But nevertheless, I'm actually someone that's about to, I think I am, once I finish Assassin's Creed, I might be jumping into the Xbox a bit more, because I'm that Xbox Games Pass is now becoming a thing where I'm looking at it a little bit more like, that might be a better investment per month than buying multiple games, because, there's loads of these games on there. There's lots of stuff on there. I've cancelled my PlayStation Plus. I've cancelled my games to go, because I never play them, and I'm looking at going, I think Games Pass might be my key forward, and there's some good games on there as well. Lots of Disney stuff. There was that new Alien Isolation was put on there that I've been wanting to play, so things like that. I'm kind of getting to that thing now for that, but nevertheless, moving gears over, let's now talk about kind of a lot of toys that got announced on yesterday, on March 31st. An embargo lifted, or something went, and suddenly Endgame Avengers toys popped up everywhere. I thought it was a Sunday morning. Usually I don't get any much news on a Sunday morning, so I logged onto Shop Disney as my normal routine. So all these toys, and realized every retailer had put them up. We've got new action figures from Hasbro. We've got basic figures, toys. There are Marvel Legends. We had a load of pop vinyls announced. There was new Lego. There was new clothes. Everything's out. Basically, just every single Marvel character in a little white uniform to go into the Quantum Realm. That's pretty much the rundown of everything.
All the living characters, yes. At the start of the movie, anyway. But yeah, this came out of nowhere. I'm actually impressed that there weren't any really significant leaks on this. I think the only ones that I knew about in advance were the Legos, but I think they had officially announced those. It was still a surprise to be like, oh no, they're in stores right now at this exact moment.
Yes. Well, this is a kind of a thing because officially I've got a story to put up today on the new Lego sets. But I had an embargo of today. So I was like, okay, you put them all up for sale, and they're all on lego.com, but I can't actually talk about them until today. So
yeah, which is funny because I can talk about them because yeah. I went to a Lego store and I saw them in person, and it wasn't a pre-release. It wasn't sent to me. So I can talk about them.
Yeah.
And I'll talk very, very briefly about it.
Yeah.
The Quinjet looks awesome. Mm. I haven't built them, obviously, and that's a big part of a Lego review, but the Quinjet looks like a serious piece of thing. And if it wasn't $90, I probably would have bought it today.
I was just going to say, because I think the thing is, for some of the Lego sets, is they are... I'm just seeing which ones they've got up on Lego on Shop Disney.
They've got the War Machine and the Hall of Armor.
Yeah, both of which... Yeah, the Hall of Armor looks awful.
Well, we've had the Hall of Armor before. It was I don't remember what it was released alongside, but we've definitely seen this set before, and this isn't even really an upgrade of it.
No, it's just like, yeah, okay, so you've got a load of art. It's just like, yeah, I don't understand. $60, I don't think that's good enough. I'll be honest. I don't think
it's
good
enough for $60. And especially the blue one. I don't even, is that like... the lifter one from Iron Man 3, I don't even know. And it's just like, no. I mean, it's too expensive for what it is, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's just one of those things of, the thing is like the Quinjet, I've literally only just got, my mum's kind of, I think, has ordered me the one from Captain Marvel.
Right, which is only $30 and much more reasonably priced.
Yeah, and it's just this kind of weird thing of... Right, so I'm just bringing up here the official Lego store. Because, again, they've said that they're all online, but they're not showing up on there either. So.
I saw them, because I saw them online, but they didn't have actual artwork on them. They had placeholder artwork.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're not in the search that you're doing at the moment. There they are. They're right on the top.
Yeah, it's...
there's no pictures.
Yeah, there's no pictures. So they're there, but it's going to be this odd one. It's just, I know where they are. And it's just, yeah, I'm really not feeling the Lego sets quite yet. So I'm going to flip over to Pop Vinyls, loads of them. They announced an absolute ton of them. Here we can see, this is a standard theme. Let's put every single hero in the Quantum Realm outfit. That's pretty much the standard end game thing that we've seen so far in pretty much every single toy, is just put them in these outfits. And
that was very clearly a let's make a lot of very unique merchandise kind of move.
It's just like, that's so bland, you know, that I know what they're doing and I can see why they're doing it. But even like these are the basic action figures, you know, it's just one way of just having every single character out there. But you can definitely see, I don't know if the fact that Captain Marvel doesn't look like she's going into this.
No. The one that gets me is Captain America. They gave him the suit, but they kept the hood blue. Yeah. Like, you couldn't have gone all the way. Iron Man as well. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Even if you don't need to do it for whatever movie reason logic, you don't need to do it. It's like, why wouldn't you do it? Just unify the dang colors.
Yeah. I mean, we can definitely. I mean, Ronan's, and then we've got all the really basic action figures, the big ones, and you know the 12-inch ones, the Titans, which you know, unless these are definitely aimed at the kids because they are much lower down. The Marvel Legends ones look good. But there's actually only really two figures. I mean, I wouldn't buy that Captain America because I don't think that looks great at all.
The head just keeps throwing me. It's like it's normal head on top of an Ultron body. I'm just
Yeah, and I mean the Ronin figure looks a bit better.
But at least because it looks like it's got character as opposed to the other ones. All the other ones are just the white and red micro whatever suit. And this one, even if it's kind of like generic ninja-y, that is the way it was in the comics. It was very generic ninja-y. It at least stands out compared to all the rest.
All the other Marvel Legends are just random comic book characters.
I mean, that's fairly common for the Legends series. There's normally a couple of everybody knows these characters, and then here are the characters for like the hardcore fans. Citizen V, I mean, Citizen V would have been great for the movies. They kind of set him up. He's actually Baron Zemo, who was the villain of Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Led the Thunderbolts, which was a whole bunch of villain characters, kind of Suicide Squad, but not as stupid.
Yeah.
We'll see. They keep killing all the villains, so they don't have anyone for a Suicide Squad.
No, and they only really had two Endgame ones in the Marvel Legends line. I do love that. The obviously Thanos being the builder character is the standard thing for the one character that you do want is obviously the builder figure. So you buy all the other ones. So this first wave, this is kind of this thing of they'll obviously have all this out. They've got it all in the stores for the movie coming out. The second wave will be probably coming out once the movie's been out, and therefore we'll probably have a little bit more depth. These ones are a little bit more, I think, where we know, you know, everyone that's alive, everyone that's doing the Quantum Realm stuff, the Lego sets at the minute, you really don't know too much. I'm guessing at some point in the movie, we have got a War Machine Hulkbuster, but they might not even do that. The trouble is, especially with Lego, is they have a tendency to put out sets for stuff for concept art rather than what actually happens in the movie.
Right. A lot of times it's not even intentional. It's just they get the design so far in advance that stuff gets cut. We saw this with the Force Awakens. They had that snow speeder set for Rey and Finn. Rey and Finn. Where they have an escape on the planet that's got the Starkiller base on it. And the entire sequence got cut from the movie, but Lego had already been producing the set, so there you go.
Yeah, it's one of those really weird things, I think, of sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes it's worth, with some of those Lego sets, of holding back and seeing what's actually in the movie, because, you know, you can end up, you know, especially on those more expensive sets. I'm just bringing up here now just to sort of see, because we've actually known about these sets for quite a while. These got leaked a while ago. Most of the stuff, you know, the Marvel Legends characters and stuff, we've all kind of known about as well. And it's just one of those things of it just happens. But yeah, I think the idea of getting it all out, I'm glad they did it yesterday rather than today, because obviously it's April 1st and that is a bad day to release anything. Today's one of those days of just like, I've got to triple check everything. Probably a lot of the stories and stuff, I've just got to wait till tomorrow. I hate today from doing a website point of view. So yeah, so let's have a look here. So we got this bike with Captain America.
We've still hung up on the helmet thing.
Yeah, and then we've got this haul of here. I still think that's an awful set for that price. Then we've got this other big set, which looks like a Lego city building with two minifigs.
Two big minifigs and then a couple of four characters. I mean, I think this is another set. We had basically something very similar, maybe for Age of Ultron. Different characters, obviously, but it's a repackaging of an old set with different characters. And heck, the War Machine is basically the Hulkbuster, just different colors, and he's got a Gatling cannon on his shoulder.
I mean, I've got that. I've got the Hulkbuster one, a great set. And then you got the Quinjet, which, again, I've got that Captain Marvel one coming, so I don't see the need to have multiple Quinjets.
Right.
This one's a bit bigger, but yeah, I mean, again, we've got all the characters in their white suits. That seems to be the, you know, if you're going to release action figures, and each time, and Disney love it with all their movies, and you've change the costumes and you can resell all the toys again. That's basically the number one rule of Disney movies.
Yeah. It's the Star Wars logic.
Yeah.
You know, they've got new costumes, which means new toys, which means more money. And yeah. Okay. I mean, we can be cynical about it, but whatever, as long as it makes sense within the movie and it does, and it's not terrible within the movie, I'm fine with it. But
my big thing is with all these, with those Quantum Realm suits, is how long are they going to be wearing them in the movies? Because if they only wear them for one scene, and then once they get into the wherever they're going, they go back to their normal suits, then it kind of, yeah. So it needs to be a bit wearing. If it looks like the Hulk is in this suit, because all the toys have got him in there. There was a couple of other bits and pieces as well that he was in. And just as a whole, lots of bits and pieces that have come out regarding Endgame. But we'll have to wait. We've only got like 4 weeks to go to the movie. I'm waiting for the tickets to go on sale so I can go on first day. Also, just a quick note as well. The new Lego Steamboat Willie set comes out today. So definitely want to check that one out. I think it's a little bit pricey, but I think I might pick that one up at some point as well.
I'm gonna wait and see on a price drop for it, because we talked about it previously. Yeah. But yeah, the changes to it from the ideas version of the set are kind of hard to swallow.
Yeah, it looks good, but an £80 set, that's a big boat. I mean, it's a bit pricey. But nevertheless, so that's kind of like all the major bits and pieces of news. Also, just a quick thing really is this is going to be James's last episode. As he said last week, he's got a promotion, so he's not as available to do this podcast. He's still going to be doing the Disney Plus one. But so I'm going to be, I think I probably found a new co-host, Matthew. He's been on the show before, so he's going to be doing that with me for a few episodes, see how we get on. So we'll do that one. But that hard thing, really. I mean, we've been doing what 3 years now?
Almost 3 years. So I checked last time. The first show, or one of the very first shows we did, was talking about the first Incredibles special event in Disney Magic Kingdoms. And that was, I had it last week, but it's in like May.
Yeah, because I mean,
it's almost 3 years.
They just celebrated their third anniversary, so it's been pretty much, And I was thinking, like, you know, because originally it was like after Disney Infinity died, and kind of, you know, the Infinity and Beyond podcast had kind of was not really applicable what me and Abe did. So therefore, we'd already started the Disney Kingdom podcast, but it was that kind of weird thing of like merging everything over for a bit. But yeah, it's been that odd thing of like the Disney, how much video games, especially with the Disney side, the last 3 years, we went through the lull.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of went up a bit, and then we went back into a lull and gone back up again and back into a lull.
I mean, we've had a number of projects that we've looked at and we're like, I can't wait for this to come out. Stuff like Star Wars Battlefront 2. That's about the only one I can think of. And
we had the Lego car, or we had Lego Incredible.
A couple of Legos, yeah.
Cars 3. We had Kingdom Hearts 3, you know, we've had...
Well, that one we talked about for quite some time, because we, not just Kingdom Hearts 3, I think Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, and 2.8 all came out since I joined the show. So we talked about the whole gamut, and I think both of us, well, you had a bit more experience with Kingdom Hearts than I did, but we went from, like, I don't understand anything in this thing, I don't know what's going on, I don't know who Sora is, I don't know who Aqua is. I still remember in my review of 2.8 being like, I'm not really sure who Aqua is, and I got absolutely ripped apart by fans like, how the heck can you not know who Aqua is? And just like, because I don't know who she is, she's not in Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2. So
yeah, but I mean, many of it here now, having completed 5 different Kingdom Hearts games for years later.
Yeah, the story still doesn't make any sense, but at least I know who the characters are, and I know why the games are popular. They're a lot of fun.
It's really strange, because I've occasionally looked inside one of the Facebook groups, and they're all like, where's all the Final Fantasy stuff? And I'm going, honestly, people, like us casual people that play Kingdom Hearts, you could take all that Final Fantasy stuff and kick it to the curb, and this game would probably sell more because it was less complicated. But nevertheless, yeah, Kingdom Hearts has been a kind of constant thread. The odd, I mean, even down to Disney Infinity, even as of last week, there was images of the Darth Vader premium figure. One of the people managed to buy. There's still little bits of Infinity, like just dripping out.
And I'm still just like, it's gone. It's dead. Leave it alone. Yeah. I mean, I still play it every once in a while. I've got it on my PC, so I don't have to have any of the figures. Yeah. I just bought, I think there was a point when you could get all three of the games for $15 total on Steam. So I just bought them. And it's still a lot of fun to play, especially 3.0, the Star Wars adventures, all of that stuff. Sure, I can't get all the toy box stuff now because those are all gone, and I don't feel like building my own. But it was still a very fun game. And yet, I'm still, every time there's an announcement or a leak where people are like, and we found the Moana place, I'm like, I don't care. We're never going to play it. It's not going to exist in any form. It's gone.
No, it's, and also I feel like we've kind of gone through the thing of the rise of the mobile game. From Disney, where it was the hot topic, that thing that they literally kind of canned everything to go all in on mobile, and that kind of the bubble went up, and then they just started going pop, 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 just canceling project after project after project. And I feel like I've said about canceling games more often than new games,
except there was that period, there was a time, I don't know, I want to say about like 2 years ago, where it seemed like every single week for about 2.5 months, there was something. We were like, we're talking about the Beauty and the Beast match 3, and now we're talking about the Droids match 3, and now Force Arena and Pirates Caribbean, which apparently just had a content update. I would not have pegged that game for surviving, but here it is still. And then after that, well, they're taking the Droids game off the market. They're taking the Beauty and the Beast off the market. So, yeah, we've definitely seen that that rise and fall. And a couple games survived. And in fact, I think even a couple weeks ago, we got the Disney Sorcerer's Arena announcement. Haven't even found a soft launch APK for that yet. But, you know, they're still trying stuff, but it's not all over the place. And even if you move outside mobile, we're still kind of looking at, well, what are we looking forward to? Jedi Fallen Order.
Yep.
And
Iron Man VR and X-Men Ultimate Alliance 3 on the Switch.
Right. And the Avengers, but we know nothing about the Avengers. We've had one promo video that was like a minute long from a year ago. We know there are other projects. Mm. We know that Disney... the EA contract with Disney for Star Wars is almost certainly not going to exist in its current form when it goes up for renegotiation. But beyond that, we don't have a clue what's going on. And there's not much where you can immediately say, you know, this time last year, we were going, hey, the Spider-Man game, you know, is looking pretty good. Let's give that a whirl. And we don't even know what Jedi Fallen Order looks like yet. I mean, obviously we'll find out at Celebration. They've already announced a panel for it, but yeah, right now I don't think we even have a teaser video for it.
No, we don't. We haven't even seen a screenshot of it. But yeah, I mean, on the Disney side now, Kingdom Hearts 3 is out of the way. We've got no clue of what's coming up. I'm guessing there's going to be something frozen out later this year. But yeah, it's been nice to like this general trend really of just like things coming along. We know we've seen lots. You know, like even down to merchandise. I feel like Disney have got they've got their chosen partners, Hasbro, Lego, Funko, and they kind of kept very, and then they've got their own stuff and they do bits with Diamond Select, but even that's got very, they've got a few people that they work with on doing projects, and that's it. They keep with the big ones. There doesn't seem to be as much they're not really doing a lot of anything, you know. That seems to be as a general thing. There seems to be, I don't know if it's just because kids are buying less toys, and we know that's a fact, but they don't seem to be kind of experimenting much very much. You know, they got these wind up things and some big, but there's nothing has really caught on in the last few years as far as a new hot trend for merchandise. There's been, you know, they've tried a number of things, Little Big Feet, Yuffuffies, they've tried.
I like the Yuffuffies.
Nothing has really kind of taken off the same way in the last few years. Nothing has really become a massive, big runaway success.
And it's probably partially victim of their own success, because you had the vinyl mations, you've had the Sumsums, you've had a couple other items in there as well. But it's also probably the market's just getting saturated. And I don't just mean Disney products. I mean everything, because you've got those like cubes thing, cube with a Z that you see, and they kind of compete with the Sumsums. And just about every company in the world has some sort of like cute line of collectible blind box item. And, you know, Disney is competing with the market that they helped to create, and they're just kind of getting edged out. I think that they're still holding their own. Obviously they're still trying stuff, but it's going to come from an unexpected angle, and it could be tomorrow. It could be a couple years from now. I don't know. Heck, they could announce a major deal with Figpins, and then Figpins become the next hot. I expect that.
But I'll be honest. I'm very much aware that I think, you know, things, something like Fortnite really showed me really of how things have changed in, you know, that was something that came along and that caught people's attention. And that's where the kids' money was going. I saw it firsthand with kids that I know that Fortnite took them away from toys and they never went back. And, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, traditional gamers, it's and mobile games and stuff. And I think that is just something that we've seen a big thing of, and it's something we'll continue to see. Adult collectors will buy certain stuff, but kids, yeah, they get to a certain point that they just then these cute collectibles. And I also think parents are more aware of the mentalities of like buy everything. And also Disney have a tendency to run them into the ground with way too much too soon, too overload. They burn the people out and then they move on. And I think there's a lot of that with collectibles as a whole.
Yeah, and some of that is Disney or the other companies involved, and some of that is consumers too. Mm-hmm. You know, in this day and age, getting with the Fortnite mindset, the next hot thing is only a week or two away. Now, I'm probably looking through it with rose-tinted glasses or a nostalgia filter or something like that, but it felt like when we were growing up, fads lasted a bit longer. You know, I can remember as a kid, I grew up through slap bracelets. Yeah. That was a fad for a while, you know, and then stuff like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles always had stuff around it, G.I. Joe, and all that stuff. And it felt like those lasted for years, and we were kind of involved with them. I'm probably misremembering, yeah, you know, but months, at least months. And nowadays it feels like, you know, the Yufufis come out and they get pushed really hard for like a week and then they're gone. And yeah, it our entire consumer mentality has gone the way of the goldfish, you know, which is not the right thing to say because goldfish actually have decent memory, but you know, that's the general impression. So
yeah, it's just very noticeable. Like when you look back now, I mean, started doing this the Disc Kingdom podcast, I launched what, nearly over 4.5 years ago, and just in general, like that thing of you can see how the trends have changed when you look over that time of what's where it's been going and stuff. But I mean, that's just the way life goes. So just want to say a big thank you for James for joining me on all of these ones. Really enjoyed doing it. And yeah, just big thank you very much. We are going to be continuing on doing a weekly Disney Plus podcast. So it's kind of a weird thing, because, you know, we're still going to be doing stuff together, but obviously we'll have a new host joining us hopefully soon. So so again, thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you subscribe, make sure you go check out James. Where can they find you?
Find me heroiclegacy.com and what's on Disney Plus.
Yes. And on that, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Some of us will.
Yeah, I will be.
Later, guys. It's been a pleasure.